When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Well, the domestic football is gone, but we sure haven't. There's still plenty to talk about, and we'll be covering it all here on the Anglo-Italian Pod. As always, my name is Rory, and I'm joined by my very good friend,
Adam. Hey, Rory. I think I'm going to kind of collapse when I saw the new prices of the Poland national shirts. However, it's been causing a bit of a storm, these shirts, because if we kind of look at England, apparently it's wokeism, isn't it?
Oh, everything's woke. Everything's woke. If there's anything you even slightly don't like, woke. It's the wokerati that are running everything. Well, maybe it's the wokerati who are trying to skin kids for 120 euros or whatever it is for a kit. That, honestly, when I saw the price of the England one, and then Poland was like, hold my beer, and upped it. It's just incredible, isn't it? Like, I think I'm someone who likes to kind of collect football shirts. I like to kind of get the authentic football shirts, you know, not like I just like getting the real football shirts, but it's very, very close and getting to the point now where I'm just like, well, I have very little choice but to buy the fake ones.
Buy the fakes, yeah, exactly.
The first thing I saw when I saw, especially the England away kit, like the blue one, right, the gold badge, it's like a slightly gold badge, right? It looks just incredible. I was like, I'm definitely buying that kit. Well, no, I'm definitely not buying that kit now.
I'd like not at that price.
Do you understand? Do you know why? How they can rationalize this? Like, if you think about it as just any other t-shirt, 120 quid is mental.
It is absolutely mental. I've not seen a justification for it, to be brutally honest, Rory, but I think it's obviously the same old excuse that everyone kind of uses, which is inflation. The cost risen, for example. And they'll probably blame the black market for it because they'll kind of claim that because of that, that's driven up costs because not as many people are buying these shirts. But yeah, 124 quid for an England shirt seems very steep. You might want to wait until the sales happen, right? By which point, England probably might not be there at that point, right? But the same goes for the Poland shirt. I'm not necessarily a fan of the design. Obviously, I think the red shirt...
Oh, I quite liked it, you know.
I think the red shirt is nicer out of the two. The reason why I don't like it is because it just feels minimalistic and almost like the same template that they use, and it's not very innovative. Like if you look at the French shirt, which I really, really do like, for example, I think there's a lot more imagination going on with the shirts, even to an extent. If you look at, say, Italy's edition, always been kind of a bit unique, different. It's not going to be everyone's palette of taste, for example. But with Poland, we always seem to have just one template, which is white and red, or red and white. Or maybe we'll just put a line of red down the sides, you know. We've never seen much innovation from Nike, it's fair to say. I think my best ever shirt from Nike, and I still struggle to see this shirt because it was a centenary shirt, which was red and white, but halfway down the center of the shirt. So one side of the shirt is white, one side is this red. That's a bit of a Marmite one for Poland fans. Some people like it, some people don't, but as ever with football shirts, I still love the bloody collection myself. And as people that watch this will know, we go through quite a lot between us. I mean, even you have some in the background. So yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
I feel like we do all right. I feel like we do all right. But whenever it comes to, like, I was talking because Tom, a friend of the show, was over for the weekend, of course, and we were talking about football shirts. And I was like, yeah, I want to expand my collection. But then Adidas have just been knocking it out of the park so hard with Arsenal that every time they release something, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll get it. I've got so many training kits and stuff now. I'm like, all my money just keeps going to Arsenal. I'm like, no, basta, right? I need to kind of I need to start expanding my horizons again. But then I saw the leaked kits, proposed leaked kits for next season. I was like, God damn it, Adidas, you've done it again. You're going to be taking money out of my wallet. Some of them look incredible. But guys, as you can tell, we're talking about football shirts. There's not a lot to talk about this week. I'm sure we'll still find stuff. Of course. But we are taking this opportunity to kind of not talk about international football. We think it's a good opportunity to take a breather, look at Serie A, and look at the state of play heading into the final 10 games of the season, or the final stretch. Some teams have games in hand, but the final stretch, and see what we think the state of play will be. Who's going to get relegated? Who's going to get into Europe? What the matchups will be and how we see it going. We've spent quite a lot of time on Excel building these spreadsheets to try and see what we think will happen. So, yeah, that's the plan for the show, a deep dive into the relegation battle and the race for Europe. Adam, anything to say before we go for a break and head into the relegation battle?
We'll see you on the other side.
Suzov, Foloruncho, still with Michael Foloruncho, and it's crept in. He's making a habit of scoring long-range stunners. Michael Foloruncho found the space in between the lines, took a big deflection off Baschirotto. Foloruncho will claim it. He'll be claiming his fourth of the season.
Welcome back, and it's time for our deep dive into the Serie A relegation battle. At the moment, all the teams are incredibly close. It's insanely tight. From 13th to 19th are separated by 5 points as it stands. And well, a lot of these teams play each other. There's going to be some great matchups, and we're going to take a little bit of time to see how we think these teams will do. So the teams that are included are Lecce, Udinese, Verona, Cagliari, Empoli, Frosinone, and Sassuolo. We're kind of taking Salernitana as red, that they aren't going to make their way out of this battle. So we're focusing on 13th to 19th. Now, obviously, we've seen the only team amongst them that got a win in the last game week was Lecce. But Udinese, Verona, and Cagliari, and Sassuolo have all got wins recently. So some teams that are starting to find the odd performance. But with the relegation battle, as always, it's going to come down to consistency. So does that give Udinese a head start, seeming as all they do is draw?
I don't know, mate. I don't know. The reason why I say I don't know is because I've got them actually down to go down out of the league. When I've been kind of doing the analysis, I think we've always been joking on this podcast about how they always generically kind of draw their matches. And that's pretty much been the kind of theme of their season, because if you look at it from a kind of overall kind of bird's eye view at the moment, they've only got 4 wins all season. So 1 win being recorded at home, which is pretty poor by their standards. But what was kind of really coming to the forefront when I was kind of sat down and looking into detail is that they seem to lack that kind of creativity in the middle of the park. So there's a lack of contribution from midfield. They also don't have as many shots on goal, for example, in matches. So that's a concern. That's one of the elements to kind of be aware of. But also, I suppose, when you're looking at the other end, they're the team that concede the most shots per game. So it's 12 shots per game that they're affording to their kind of opposition team. So that's not great. But another kind of worry could be here, Rory, when you consider what Udinese generally play like. And I think if my comparison here is from last season to this season, for example, they have the least amount of possession per game as well. So 40% on average is how much they have of the ball. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because we know there's been teams that are a bit more direct, for example, mm-hmm. that don't necessarily need the possession. However, they do struggle with that element of not retaining the ball, so the accuracy is quite poor. And what was fascinating, actually, Rory, when I was looking into it, they have also the most dribbles of any of the sides that are in that kind of 13th place to 20th spot. So this kind of suggests that whilst they might not have a lot of the possession, they've got a lot of willing runners as well. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the end product that seems to be the issue with Udinese. And I think when you consider the players that they had last season, for example, Pereira, for example, was probably on his best form for Udinese perspective compared to this season. They lost players like Beto, for example. I think that was a huge loss when you kind of look at the grand scheme of things of goal scoring contribution mm-hmm. as well. But one other point,
Delafeu
is a massive miss from comparison as well. But one other thing I want to kind of just draw on, which was an interesting stat, was they're the most ill-disciplined side in Serie A as well. They've accumulated the fourth most amount of yellow cards. So this is interesting, but also third most for red cards. And they can see the most fouls per match as well. So it's 13 on average per game. So there's a lot to kind of think about with Udinese. I know we kind of joke about them just being draw specialists, but mm-hmm. when you kind of look at that, you kind of think, wow, there's a lot to kind of consider. And Cioffi obviously being in charge, I don't know. I just don't know if he inspires that side, because you can see the drop off quite drastically in terms of the performances. I think obviously the kind of result that they did more recently kind of gives them a bit more hope. So it dragged them mm-hmm. out of that kind of relegation battle to an extent. But, you know, they're still within only a couple, 3 points off, so to speak. So, you know, only takes one loss and the others to win, and then it drags them back down. I've made it that I think, I'm looking at the totals that they've got here and versus what I actually predicted, I think they only gain another 7 more points this season based on who they face. I'd be interested to see your thoughts. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be rosy for Udinese.
Well, I've got them down to get another 5 points, all draws. But I have them still picking up more points than Sassuolo and Empoli are the teams that I think they get more points in. I think Sassuolo away, Udinese can definitely draw. Verona away, they can draw. Lecce away, they can draw. Empoli at home, I put draw, but I think that could possibly be a win. And then Frosinone away, I think they can draw. Their other games are Inter, Roma, Bologna and Napoli. Now, none of those I'm expecting them to get anything from. But as we've seen with the Lazio game, now obviously Lazio aren't the most stable team, right? Sarri has left. Things haven't been rosy. We have seen that Udinese are able to just produce a performance. I think there's enough quality in that squad, even if it's not been on show all the time, there's enough quality that puts them just, keeps their head just above the other teams around them. So if you look at like a striker like Lorenzo Luca, who it kind of went under the radar for me, but he's got 8 goals and 3 assists this season. Obviously got called up into the Italy squad, right?
Yeah.
And I think a striker like him, Florian Thauvin, 5 goals and 5 assists, right? In 29 games, a lot of those kind of substitute appearances, obviously. But again, just that little bit of quality up top, I think they've just got a little bit more than the teams around them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because I'm so used to seeing Udinese in the league that I'm in my head they're better than they are. But I think the other thing as well is that they are only drawing games. Like, and I know obviously the key bit is getting that extra goal, but they're not getting battered. They're not like, there's a good structure there, I think, or a good enough structure there to keep them in the league. Obviously, a lot of what you said there, like, you know, give up the most chances, you know, giving away the most fouls. There's a lot of problems there. Let's be honest. But I think the structure is good enough there to just keep them in it. But I don't think they win another game this season. Like, I think,
yeah.
But
yeah.
That tells you how badly I think the other teams are going to do, right? But I think having a striker like Luca, who has had a good season, and Thauvin gives you just that bit more, like, when the going gets tough. No, wait. When the heat is on, that I want to get the right analogy. When the heat is on, they kind of step up and they've been in those big games. So I think if you look at them compared to like teams like Frosinone or Sassuolo, I think it gives them a little bit of an advantage, but there still needs to be a major, major inquest at the end of the season at Udinese into how they've allowed the squad to get to this point. Because we remember last year, we were talking a lot about them getting into Europe and they were pushing. Obviously, the end of the season was pretty terrible, but they were really like, there was a lot of quality in that squad and they were going places. So I think there needs to be a big turnaround at the end of the season. Mm. But I think they should just do enough to stay up. We'll recap at the end kind of who our bottom three are, so it's not as confusing. But should we go on to the next team who I think will be okay to stay in the league? And it's just above them. They are the team that got the one in the last game week, and this is Lecce. Again, a team that we've been really impressed with in general. Don't concede many goals, but more importantly, don't score many goals. Obviously gave away Stafetta on loan, which looks more and more confusing by the week. But Adam, what are your thoughts when you think of Lecce? The fixtures they have coming up, they have to play. Now, they've got to play four of the big boys. So they've got to play Roma at home, Milan away, Atalanta at home, and Napoli away last game of the season, which is massive. Mm. But they do have Empoli at home, Sassuolo away, Monza at home, Cagliari away, and Udinese away. So they play so many of the teams around them. Their destiny is definitely in their hands, right?
Yeah, definitely. And so you mentioned a lot of those games, a lot of them being at home as well, which is the critical bit. Because if you look at the games, the biggest side, shall we say, for argument's sake. So with the exception of Roma, that's the upcoming fixture that they've got. Milan away and last day of the season away to Napoli, which I feel they should be doing enough to stay up. Mm-hmm. Now, the rationale behind this, and I've got the stats to kind of back me up here, they've scored more goals this season than they did last season. They've actually eclipsed where they were for the same period. Last season, they scored a total of 33. They've scored 26 so far. So that's a promising sign. And I think that goes down to the approach that Roberto D'Aversa actually implemented with Lecce. I know we were kind of very critical of the form of late with Lecce, but that direct style has clearly contributed a lot more open goal kind of play as well. And I think with that as well, they've had the most shots on goal per game as well. So 13 versus their kind of opponents in this kind of mix. So that's really positive. With that direct style, though, it just means that they're not as accurate with their passing. So accuracy is per game 277, which might not sound a lot, but actually in the grand scheme of things, when you've got sides like Bologna, Napoli, Fiorentina, they average around 500 to 400 per game. So that shows you the kind of vast difference in terms of style. But that's not to say the Lecce style is necessarily bad. Mm-hmm. Where they're being let down is, as you can imagine, at the back. So, currently as it stands, they've only got 3 clean sheets. For the total of last season, they only had 6. So you could argue they might achieve it, but I think looking at the fixture list, it's unlikely that those games are going to be nil-nil. So let's put it that way. So it's going to be very difficult. Very similar to Udinese, though. Discipline seems to be an issue for them. Third highest for yellow cards and fifth as it currently stands in the table for red cards, so 4 in total. So whilst the other difference that I saw from last season versus this season, there was a reliance on Strafetta for the goals. He was their top goal scorer for last season. It's a lot more shared out this season, Rory. So Krstović has only got 5 so far to the campaign, and you've got 8 players on a single goal, which might not sound great, but sharing that responsibility of goals means there's obviously less pressure. But it does also mean that I suppose there's kind of that element that they need someone else to be maybe stepping up in terms of their game, being a bit more prominent in terms of that aspect. And I love Almqvist, for example, but he's only had 4 goals. So he's much more of a contributor than he is necessarily a goal scorer. And I think that's probably the element that maybe Lecce look at maybe for next season, Rory. But defensively is where they need to shore up. I think it's a blessing that they've got Falcone in goal. I suppose I feel Lecce should have enough as it currently stands. Against my predictions, and I'm looking at where they are, points tally-wise, I think they're going to gain another 11 points. And I think the rationale was, I think the head-to-heads is all where they're going to make up those points. I've got them actually to finish around 13, 14th as it currently stands. I'm pretty sure they should be enough, but you never know. One bad result or series of bad results, they could be dragged into it. Mm. But what's your thoughts naturally on this one?
Yeah, I've got them finishing where they are. I've got them 13th. Yeah. I've got them picking up another 9 points, basically. So a win against Empoli, a win against Sassuolo, a draw against Monza, a draw against Cagliari away, which is, I'm still doubting that because Cagliari away is a difficult one. And of course, a draw against Udinese at home. I think they will get, I think they've got enough quality there. And as we saw with Gotti coming in and getting off to a winning start, even though it wasn't like, you know, the toughest game, it wasn't like, but just getting that win under the belt and being like, right, okay, clean sheet, win, something to build on, go. I think it kind of reminded me of, like, you know, the Palace situation where for a brief second it looked like they might get dragged into the relegation battle. Then they won one game and it was, everyone was like, oh, okay, they won a game now, they're fine. I just feel like with Lecce, I got that vibe. It was like, okay, we've got that win. Yeah. Now we're okay. We just need to keep it ticking over. So I think Lecce should be fine. But yeah, there's going to be, again, with all these teams, there's going to be huge inquests in the summer, right, of trying to improve what they've got. I think it's mad to think that, like, last season, Lecce had, like, Umtiti, right? And you think, like, someone like that just provides so much more experience. Really just a character like that. And you think maybe this season they haven't really brought in that, like, that recruitment hasn't been... maybe not quite as good, but then players like Krstović and Almqvist have stepped up. I think Banda, again, is a player who I really like. He just needs to, his final ball just needs to be, like, his end product just needs to be a bit more consistent, because he can be very, very frustrating at times, but a very, very exciting player. Let's leave Lecce there. So we think Lecce, Udinese, they are, well, we disagree on Udinese, but Lecce we think is safe. Let's go for my favourite team and the team that I think are never going to be in trouble. Slightly below Udinese in 15th position, we have Hellas Verona. Now, I need to find them. Here we go. They are playing five of the current top teams in the league. Oh, no, four left, sorry. So four of the top teams, kind of the teams around the top six, seven, eight, and four of their own rivals. So they have to play Atalanta away, Lazio away, Fiorentina at home, and Inter at home on the last game of the season. Hopefully Inter have nothing to play for on that game. And for the teams around them, they have Cagliari away, Udinese at home, and Salernitana away. Between that, they have games against Genoa and Torino at home. Now, I'm looking at this and wondering what kind of mood I was in. I was being very, very optimistic here. I've got them with a win against Genoa at home, a win against Torino at home, and a win against Salernitana away. The Genoa at home, I'm thinking purely because Genoa have got nothing left to play for this season, really. And Torino at home, because you never know what Torino are going to do. The other points, I've got them drawing against Cagliari. And, of course, a draw against
Udinese.
Of course. So for me, by my reckoning, Verona are going to finish around 15th, and they'll pick up an extra 3, 6, 9, 10, 11 points by what I think. As I said, like, I've talked about this squad a lot. I think, again, we've just seen with this, like, huge, a team that did have a big kind of review, but halfway through the season, with this huge influx of players, the way they've managed to transition them all in and kind of get even better results, I think has been really, really impressive. Follow Run Show, that guy is having a really strong end into the season. I think he's kind of eyeing up a look, Napoli, you can play me kind of vibe.
Yes, sure.
He's really, really going for it. A player like Suslov is someone who I think possibly might not be at Verona next year, because I think he's really, really standing out in that midfield, like the quality he's shown. They just need to get a bit more out of Noslin. He scored last game, which is good.
Yeah, sure.
He shows a lot of promise, shows a lot of fight. It's just, again, the end product not quite there. But I think, again, there's just enough quality there. And with Montipo in goal, and the two centre-backs, I can never remember their names, I apologise. I think there's just enough quality there to keep them up. But what are your thoughts on Verona?
Yeah, when I was looking at it, and I had to remind myself, why did I put this? But I put as my notes, statistically, Verona are better than last season, which is the rationale. Obviously, Verona were in that playoff match against Spezia, so that was one of the reasons. But they're also better away from home this season, Rory. Last season, they only won one match all season. They've won two this year. So far, they're doing a lot better. Defensively, a lot stronger with Marco Baroni. 7 clean sheets, which is one more than they achieved last season as well. So that's already an up on that respect. Given the kind of aspects of Hellas changing a lot of the personnel as well, I mean, we constantly kind of question Hellas Verona's kind of integrity and whether they stand a chance of actually staying up in league. But you have to give a lot of credit for Marco Baroni and the way he's managed to, in spite of everything that's been ongoing, you know, behind the scenes, selling players and having to get new personnel in, getting them to gel in as well as they have as well. I think that's credit to him and the style of football that they do as well. As you mentioned, Fulleranshu is the pivotal kind of aspect for Hellas than the way they approach games. Obviously, he's one of the highest goal scoring players at the moment as it currently stands with 4 goals, which says a lot about how he's kind of made them a lot more kind of goal heavy in that respect. The one thing that I did pick up on, though, is the opportunity, which is they don't score enough from set pieces. And this is indicated by the fact that they're aerially the third strongest behind the likes of Inter and Atalanta when it comes to these kind of aspects. So whilst they are really aerially quite strong, they just don't make the most of it. And I suppose that's the area of opportunity. If you look at how I think Hellas generally play, it's a lot more fluid, I would describe it as. And don't forget, they had that fantastic Fulleranshu goal against Juventus from a set piece. But obviously, it was on the volley as opposed to being on the head. So I think that's the area of opportunity. But I think credit to Hellas Verona for the way they've gone about it. I'm just trying to remind myself where I had Hellas in my predictions. So I had them to score another 10 points. And that would safely put them around the same position as they are right now. So yeah, I think it's fairly straightforward for them. I think they will maintain it. And I think they've been making some really astute signings, like you say, Soslov. I still think Svidersky will come off eventually. Obviously, it's probably taking them a little while to get used to the kind of manner and the style of football. But I think promising signs for Hellas. I think they're actually going to do better than they did last season. And Marco Baroni deserves to be a contender for manager of the season. That's where I stand with this one.
He's done a very, very, very good job with all the turmoil there. It does have to be said. Yeah, I have them as 15th, finishing on 35 points, more or less. And yeah, I think they should be safe. Time to build another team. Get back that. You can go back to the Barak, Simeone and Caputo days, hopefully, if they can get the regen started. That would be nice. But let's kind of look down to the next team. And I think this is maybe where it gets a little bit more depressing for these teams. We're going to go down and we're going to start talking about Claudio Ranieri and Cagliari. Now, Cagliari, they have to play. Of the big boys, they've got Atalanta at home, Inter away, Juve at home, yep, and Milan away. They've also got Fiorentina at home. We're counting them as one of the big boys, I think. Of the teams around them, they have to play Verona at home, Lecce at home, and Sassuolo away. But in between that, they have a game against Genoa. So they've got some really tough games coming up. As I said, 4 of the top 6 or 7 teams in the league to play against. The thing for me that works in Cagliari's favour is the fact that playing in Sardinia is such an issue for so many teams.
Yes.
It is not an easy place to go to. They've picked up, I think, 99% of their points this season have come at home. We've seen incredible comebacks against Frosinone, the 4-3. We've seen incredible comebacks against, well, they kind of almost allowed a comeback against Salernitana, but they did get the win. we've seen some great games over in Sardinia. And I think there's a lot of teams going there that will not be looking forward to that trip. I think Fiorentina at home, I had to say a Cagliari win, because if Cagliari have anything to play for, it's on the last game of the season. If Cagliari have anything to play for, and Fiorentina being Fiorentina, I think Cagliari get a win there. But I'm just looking, playing Lecce at home and Verona at home, maybe I should have put those down as wins, because I think Sardinia is that tricky a place to go to. It's just the fact that they've got to play Atalanta, Inter, Juve back-to-back. Like, that could be a really disheartening tough, run of form. Like, if you say they lose to Verona at home and then you have Atalanta, Inter, Juve, all of a sudden it's very hard to turn that around. And God knows where they could be in the table by that point. Like, how do you see it with Cagliari? I feel like they do have a strength that other teams don't have, as I said, which is their stadium.
Certainly. That was the number one point that I had in my notes. I suppose the thing that will favour them when I'm looking at it is that they've only got three away games left in terms of their fixtures, so that might work in their favour. They've only secured 5 points away from home. Three of them came against Empoli not so long ago in recent weeks. So it's massive that their home form is the key contributor. And I think, to your point, yes, whilst they have got some big matches, including the bigger sides, this is where they could grind out some results. The one thing I suppose that counts against them is their style of football. So again, second worst possession stats in the league behind Udinese, who are the worst. XG has them actually mid-table. So they actually create a lot of opportunities, which, you know, I think we can definitely resonate with when you consider the games that they've had, like you alluded to, that you've had the Frosinone match, you know, Salernitana. Those games, they create a lot of opportunities. I suppose where they're not as strong, inevitably, is at the back. One of the worst when it comes to successful tackles per game. So it's only on average on 8. Dribbles per game as well is 6, so one of the lowest in the league with the likes of Empoli. So it means they're a lot more kind of reliant through that middle in terms of the way they play about their games. But I think obviously the form of their kind of strikers, as well as their kind of Gaetano, Gianluca Gaetano, who came in from Napoli, I think that's been such a pivotal signing for them. It's helped them contribute from goals from the midfield, which I think they lacked for that first half of the season, which was massive. But the likes of Luvumbu, and Pavoletti have contributed some really important goals. 20 goals at home, Rory, I think that's a massive kind of respect to them, because I think we've not necessarily associated Cagliari with goals, but they do score a lot of goals at home. So massive. But to your point, yeah, they've got to play some big 6-pointers in this kind of rest of the fixtures. I think that's going to be really pivotal for them to pick up points. I have them. This is going to make you laugh. They're going to be surviving by a solitary point. That's how tight I've got it. It could even go down to goal difference, but I have Cagliari just above the relegation zone in 17th. And I'm just looking at where they stand right now. So I've got them to gain an extra 8 points in between that. So that's how tight it's going to be.
Yeah, I've got them down as an extra 9 points. So I've got them a little bit more comfortable, but again, around those positions. I think maybe just having Claudio Ranieri gives them a little bit of a wily man. I know that his career hasn't been as good since Leicester, and it wasn't as good until Leicester, but I feel like he's just got enough experience to get enough out of that squad. I think bringing in a player like Yerry Mina, again, like a player that, and I've been really impressed, honestly, by how he's fitted in. I know he played in Serie A before he came to the Premier League, so it's not like he's had to adapt to the game or anything.
Sure.
But just the fact that he's coming from one relegation battle club to another relegation battle club, and he's just been like, okay, I know the drill, let's go. And I feel like he's just added a bit more surety to that back line. And you mentioned my favourite player, Luvumbu. I think he gives him a little bit of quality up top. So I think, again, they have just enough, but they're lucky that there's worse teams in this league, because any other season they could and should be going down, really.
Yes.
I should have been Bardi that went up instead of them. Anyway, I'll get over it one day. Next, let's go down to 17th. So another team that we have surviving. Let's go down to 17th. And this is maybe when my predictions start to go red. And we have Empoli. Now, why am I so down about Empoli? Well, their run of fixtures is absolutely horrific. They have to play seven of the top teams. Five of the top teams. They have Inter away next. Then they have Napoli at home, Atalanta away, Lazio away, and Roma at home. So these are the games against the top teams.
Yep.
They have to play three of the teams around them in Lecce away, Frosinone at home, and Udinese away. And they've got a game against Torino at home just thrown in for good measure. I don't see any games where they get a win here. So I've not got a single bit of green on this spreadsheet that I'm looking at. I've got a draw at home against Torino, being very, very generous there. A draw at home against Frosinone, I think is reasonable. And a draw away at
Udinese.
Of course. So I think I've got them only picking up another 3 points. This, when my graph puts them at 18th in the league. And I think, unfortunately, this could be one of the very few blotches on Davide Nicola's mark book in terms of relegations. I just don't see enough there. I think it's just the fixtures. The fixtures are so hard.
They are. And I think I was a bit optimistic with my predictions here, looking back, especially when I've been compiling the kind of in-depth analysis on Empoli even, sorry. This has been their worst season when you compare it to last season. So far, they've conceded 43 goals this season. Last season, they conceded only 46 for the entirety of the season. So you can see where they've been generally dragged into this relegation battle. The also other element is the lack of clean sheets. So they had a 7 total for last season. They're too short of it this season. I don't think they're going to get another clean sheet, it's fair to say. Mm-hmm. But they did gain another one under David Nicola. So that kind of shows you that he has had some sort of an impact. I suppose, this is where it gets a bit more interesting, is around how he's managed to change their fortunes of late, because they've been pretty weak when it comes to the attacking third as well. So they've got one of the least amount of dribbles, for example, per game on average of 6. XG has them at 29.2, which ranks them in 17th. Shots per game is also the worst in the league, only on average 3 per game. So you can see where the issues are. However, having said that, under Nicola, they have scored 11 goals. So this is already significantly better than they had under Andrea Zoli previously. But also, when you look across the side, obviously they don't score many goals. In total, 22 goals so far in the campaign. Szymon Szczerkowski, who came in January, is the top goal scorer for them with 4. And obviously he's just an attacking midfielder. Yeah. I do feel that Baldanzi element at the beginning of the season was a weird one. How he didn't like come on and start matches, it was a very strange kind of decision at the time. You can see where the opportunities lie. They need to just be more clinical up top, take their chances. I've also got them here as least clinical in the air. Aerially, they're really struggling. So it does feel like both defensively and from an attacking point of view, this is where they got at, is during those kind of set plays as well. So you could see that's the element that David Nicola's been trying to work on with this Empoli side. But they have, however, conceded a lot of late goals. If you look at last game against Bologna, that was a late goal as well. Yeah. They did really well to hold it out. And this was with 10 men as well. So to a degree, they've been unlucky with David Nicola. But yeah, I'm kind of wondering why I've got them to score. And let me just double check this. I think I've got them to score an extra 11 points here. I don't know why I've done that. But
wow, I like it. Survive. I like it. Look,
I've been optimistic.
Davide Nicola knows what he's doing. And I don't think anybody would be surprised if Empoli did get out of it. I just think the fixtures they've got are so, so difficult. I was typing them in and I was like, oh my God, you're playing all of them. You're playing all the teams. Yes. And not only are you playing all of them, you're playing the teams that like have stuff to play for. Like, apart from Inter, like you've got Napoli, Atalanta, true. Lazio and Roma, who are all going to be fighting until the final day of the season to try and get those European spots. Because as we talk about it in the second half of this pod, it's pretty tight up there as well. So I think it's just the way the very fixture true. List has fallen for them. I think it could just be a little bit grim for Empoli. It's a shame, but for me, they slip into the relegation zone and into Serie B. If we continue to slip down the table, we are going to Di Francesco's Frosinone. Now, if we look at their remaining fixtures, I think it was slightly kinder. So they have to play, of the top teams, they've got Bologna at home, Napoli away, and Inter at home. That's it. They play, of the teams around them, they play Salernitana at home, Empoli away, and Udinese at home on the final game of the season, which could be huge. But the games between them, they've got Genoa away, Torino away, and Monza away. I don't think they win in any of those stadiums. Like, they are all mid-table teams, but they are all difficult places to go to. The only win I have them picking up is, of course, Salernitana at home. I think they've got enough to beat Salernitana at home.
Yeah.
I've got them drawing against Empoli and a draw against, of course, Udinese at home. This, for me, puts them into 17th position. So it's just that win against Salernitana that keeps them in the league. How do you see it for Frosinone?
Well, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? I looked at this and they're the most footballing side of all those in the relegation battle because the possession stats is highest of all of those that are currently scraping for it with 51%, which actually puts them quite admirably in the top half of Serie A as well. They also score quite a lot of goals. So 37 goals, that's the most of any of the teams. And they scored the most against all of the other sides from set pieces as well, which was definitely something that we've been evident to see. However, on the flip side, obviously the amount that they concede is where they've been let down at the moment, and Turati obviously is having to hold the fort right now. On average, they concede 15 shots per game to their opponents, which you can see that kind of playing through. If you think about Lazio, the last game they obviously lost that 3-2. Previous, in a few weeks back, you had Roma as well. So yeah, they are just very open, it's fair to say, in terms of the style of play. They like to play attacking football, but they are not very defensive minded. One thing that I did pick up on, though, as much as we've been talking about how great a signing he's been, Matheus Süle, I'm talking about here, who's obviously top goal scorer for them, completes the most dribbles. So he's obviously one of those players that's quite adventurous with his style of play. And I'm sure under Di Francesco, he's encouraging him to do that. But the last time he scored was back in February, Rory, against Milan. That was on the 3rd of February, which you can kind of see that play through because actually Walid Chidira has started to pick up some of that kind of goal contribution. But he's
far from consistent.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think whilst he has picked up that form and taken a little bit of that slack off Süle, that lack of contribution from Süle is definitely having effects in terms of their performances of late. XG also has them, for from a conceding point of view, second worst behind Salernitana. So they are pretty poor from that point of view. I've got them optimistically getting a lot more points. I don't know why I did that. But yeah, I've got them pretty safe. But now I'm starting to really second guess myself and think, did I play that right? I don't know where I kind of calculated that they would score 40 points.
Wow, so, damn. Yeah,
that was quite optimistic. I think I must have thought that they would do quite well against certain sides. I think it's just more the footballing aspects, and I felt maybe with Süle, obviously, being the key pinnacle, but now I'm looking at those kind of hard stats and I'm like starting to second guess myself. So Süle, please pull off some amazing performances in the next few weeks. But yeah, I've got them to stay up, Rory, despite me kind of slagging them off at the beginning of the season. I'm pretty sure you can clip it somewhere on my first, on the first ever episode. We definitely had, well, I had them down to go down anyway. So let's see.
It's all right. We all do it. We all do it. I had Lazio Scudetto winners, so don't worry about it. But I think it's literally for me, I've got them picking up 5 points for the rest of the season. It's just like home game against Salernitana. I think that, like, they have to thank their lucky stars that that has fallen at this end of the season. I think, but all of these teams here, if they're playing Salernitana, I've basically got them winning. I just think that Frosinone, like, they've been really entertaining to watch. Their games have been incredible to watch, which is amazing, but not if you're at the bottom of the table. I think if you're at the bottom of the table, you want to be quite dull. You want to be quite, you don't want to be first on Match of the Day every week, if you know what I mean? Because it means that there's just goals flying in. And I feel like Frosinone have been, like, fantastic entertainment. but it just means they're just utter chaos. And like you said, we talked about it, the game in Cagliari when they were winning, yeah. and then like it's just so endemic of their season. I just think they're just, thankfully they're playing Salernitana, let's just say yeah, that's right. I've got Frosinone finishing 17th. And then the last team we're going to be talking about before we take a very quick break is, of course, Sassuolo. Now, Sassuolo, I don't have, here we go. I've got them getting 2 points for over the rest of the season, and that is in the next two games. They have Udinese at home, so that's a draw. And they've got Salernitana away. So I've put them down as a draw for Salernitana away because I don't think I genuinely think Sassuolo are that bad.
Yeah, of course.
But the teams that they play around them, so as I said, they've got Udinese at home, Salernitana away, Lecce at home, and Cagliari at home. But they also have to play Milan at home, Fiorentina away, Inter at home, and Lazio away on the last game of the season. And Lazio are definitely going to be fighting for a European space.
Yep.
I think there is nothing here that Sassuolo can do, basically. I know they got the win against, it was against Frosinone, right? The 1-0 win. But even that was fortuitous. Caio Jorge misses a penalty. Like, there was definitely chances for Frosinone to get back into that game. Obviously, the win's great, but I just think it's too much water under the bridge at this point at Sassuolo. We've seen how horrific their defending has been. There's been a few performances from Torstved and players like that where you think, okay, there's a bit of a spark, but then you see Pinamonte, and every time he gets the ball, you're like, just he just goes wide. He takes too long on the ball. It's just not like his first touch is loose. It just feels like everything is kind of going wrong at that club at the minute. So I think Sassuolo stay exactly where they are, basically, until the end when they go down, right? How do you see Sassuolo going?
Yeah, I think it's caught up with the Nero Verdi. I mean, we've kind of loved their kind of style of football, right? And I think that kind of open style of football has been kind of neglected to the point that they've kind of over-relied on it over the kind of last season and a half. So, you know, you can kind of look at the stats and that kind of brings it more to life. They've only had 2 clean sheets all season. That's how bad they've been, and that's probably on par, I'd say, with a Sassuolo side. They don't normally have a clean sheet to their names half the time, but they don't kind of have the same impacts in the final third, for example. So most kind of shots they have per game is on average 4. So, you know, they haven't been the kind of attacking selves as they normally would do. Interestingly, Pinamonte is now level in terms of top goal scorer contribution from a Sassuolo side. They're going to have to lean on him now for the rest of the season because Domenico Berardi is injured. He's out for the rest of the season. So that reliance, although removed from Berardi, they're going to have to rely on Pinamonte going forward. And I, like yourself, I feel obviously certain players haven't played to their strengths or potential. You know, Loriente, for example, is a prime example. We expected a lot more from him. But the form away from home is where they're being let down. In total, 8 points is all they've achieved away from home. That's 2 less than Calgary, who we've been kind of saying, Calgary not getting a lot of points away from home. 2 wins, but this is where they kind of let down. They concede 31 goals. For last season, during the duration of the campaign, they only conceded 38 away from home. So that kind of shows you the story that I think there's going to be more than 38 this season that they concede away from home. But also the home form, if you look at it, I mean, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. I'm like yourself. I've got them down to go down. It's a shame, but I can see their team being picked apart. Forsberg is a player that I really do admire. I think he'll do a fantastic job for whoever it be in Serie A. And they've got a few pockets of players, right, Rui? It's going to be interesting to see. And I think the problem will be is the element of dealing with Sassuolo, who will want to make money out of these players as well. So it might not be so easy to kind of say, you've been relegated, we'll pick that player to play in Serie A. I don't think it's going to be that simple. But players like Berardi, I would expect, will push that move if they are relegated. And yeah, I think it's the end of the line for Sassuolo.
Yeah, I think it's a really difficult one with Sassuolo, like, because they're a team that's kind of been bankrolled by MAPPI, and the supporter base just isn't there. Like, it's a tiny little town in Emilia Romagna. Like, it's not, you can see the stadium, like, there's regularly more away fans than there are home fans.
Yes, exactly.
It's not a well supported club. And I feel like once you get into, and then you have a season like this, which is so depressing, and the fans have just stopped turning up, and Like, it just feels like if they get down to Serie B, are Mapai going to be like, right, we go again? Is there going to be like, or is it just going to be a completely empty stadium next year? I don't know. I just
possibly
of all the teams that we have going down, this is the one that I worry about their future the most. I'll be honest, where I'm like, okay, what, like, just a very, very uncertain future. Empoli, who I had going down, I know. This is what they do. They come in between the leagues. They'll be up in a couple of years with an exciting few young players, and they'll be fine. Like, the other ones, Salernitana, they're kind of Serie B anyway, but, you know, they're owned by, or they were owned by Lotito, but there's enough there that they can come back up. Sassuolo, I'm just not sure how stable it will be. But, yeah, to finally wrap up the relegation battle, I have relegated in 18th place Empoli, in 19th place Sassuolo, and in 20th place Salernitana. Adam?
Yeah, I'll go in reverse order. So 20th place, Salernitana. I think we both agree on that. In 19th place, I've got Sassuolo. And in 18th place, by a solitary point between them and Calgary, I've got Udinese to go down.
We will see. One of us is going to be wrong, or both of us are going to be wrong.
We shall see.
Either way, we'll be wrong. So we are going to take a very quick break, guys. And when we come back, we're going to shoot up the table, and we're going to be a little bit more cheery talking about the race for Europe. We will see you on the other side.
Bologna taking chances defensively. Calafiori, he lets fly, pushed away. Here's a chance. This time they score. Giovanni Fabian has grabbed the winner. It looked for all the world as if they were going to keep squandering chances. But in the end, Caprile patted down, one shot too many. It's Giovanni Fabian who grabs the headlines, and the scoreline reads Empoli 0, Bologna 1.
Welcome back, and this time we're a little bit higher. We're right at the top of the table, and we are focusing on the also incredibly tight race for Europe. Now, we have kind of cut the line off. We are looking at fourth place Bologna all the way down to ninth place Lazio. Now, Lazio and Fiorentina are both on 43 points, both really, really, really struggling for consistency. Lazio with a new manager, so maybe a bit of a bounce to be had there. But both teams a solid 11 points behind fourth place Bologna. Adam, do you see either of these teams finding the consistency it will take to get them and force themselves into the European battle?
It's going to be difficult, isn't it? I think they're very much reliant on those teams above them to drop points. What may help them in their cause is the teams above them having to play some extra games, for example, like Roma playing Europa. Atalanta still in Europa. Obviously, Fiorentina themselves are in the Europa Conference. So that may also play a part. But don't forget, there's also the Coppa Italia. Coppa Italia, where we've got the likes of Fiorentina still involved, for example. So it's going to be massive, I think, these fixtures. When I was looking at this, this is not easy to predict. This is why I haven't actually predicted where these teams are going to finish, to be fair, Rory. But between Fiorentina and Lazio, you've got two kind of different philosophies, right? And I feel like the new manager bounce may work in the favour of Lazio, purely because I think Tudor will get performances out of this squad, maybe getting the players more accustomed to roles that maybe they prefer to play in as well. It feels like they were against Sarri's style of philosophy, and that might play a part in terms of rejuvenating their season. With Fiorentina, as probably evident with the Roma game, they just lack being clinical. That's been the biggest element of their story, is that they're just not taking enough of their chances. And when they do have the chances, you don't necessarily have the firepower behind it. And sometimes you've also got the inconsistency with Italiano in terms of the personnel. He's never had a consistent back line, for example, which is probably playing a part in how stable they are at the back. But also Nicky Gonzalez, who I think is their really talismanic kind of attacking outlet. He's been kind of either being subbed or he's been dropped to the bench, not started a few games. So that can't be doing him any favors in terms of form going forward as well. I feel that if it comes to it, Lazio possibly pushed this group a lot further. When I say the group, I'm kind of measuring it from sixth to fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Lazio are more likely to be in that fifth, sixth spot rather than fourth place. I mean, how do you see this?
Well, I think I've got them picking up another 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 16 points as the season goes on. So I've got them having a pretty good end to the season. They've got to play Juve at home, then Roma away, and they've got Inter away. So those are the teams that are around them. But what works in their favour is they've got quite a few teams towards the bottom of the bottom of the league, and they're all at home. They've got Salernitana at home, Verona at home, Empoli at home, and Sassuolo at home. So I think those are all games that they can win. The only games I've got them losing are the Roma game. I think Derby d'Italia, I think De Rossi just gets that over the line. Roma have just been a bit more consistent. Monza away has got Lazio loss written all over it.
Yes.
And Inter away, I think Lazio, even though their record against Inter in general is pretty good, I feel like they're still just not going to quite have enough there. But I think I've got them down for just a very good end to the season. But I just think, again, the damage has kind of been done by this point, and they're relying on a lot of teams above them to drop more points, which I just don't see happening. So I think it will be a positive effect of Igor Tudor. It just won't quite be positive enough. That Roma derby, I think if they win that, then they're putting themselves firmly in the conversation. But I can just see Roma getting that done. For Fiorentina, they're just 0-0 consistency. Again, they've got to play Milan at home. They've got to play Juve away. They've got to play Napoli at home. And they've got a few of the teams towards the bottom. They've got Salernitana, Sassuolo, Cagliari away on the last game of the season, which of course the one I said I think they're going to lose. And of course they've got the postponed game against Atalanta due to the sad passing of Barone. I think that being against Atalanta again is just a direct rival, so I just don't think there's going to be enough there for Fiorentina to get over the line, unfortunately. But I do have Lazio finishing eighth and Fiorentina ninth, so they do just swap positions, which is nice, I suppose. But let's move up the league and go to what I think could be the start of the contenders, and let's go to Napoli. Calzone, he's come in as the fireman. Can he deliver European football? Well, I've got a lot of draws here. Playing the teams around them, they've got Atalanta at home, Roma at home, Bologna at home, and Fiorentina away. The teams towards the bottom of the table, they've got Frosinone, Empoli, Udinese, and Lecce. I've got them winning all of those, and they've got a nice game against Monza just thrown into the mix. So in total, I've got them picking up 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 points across the rest of the season, but I've got them finishing seventh. With Napoli, we've seen them a little bit more consistency, a little bit more of an idea. They're getting flashes of old Napoli. We're getting a bit of that entertaining football back. Osimhen's hitting his strides a little bit. Kvaratskhelia looks like his old self. I just think, again, the damage has been done at this point. But I think there's a lot of winnable games there. And of the teams here, I think they are really, really going to put the pressure on. Like, Atalanta need to hit form quickly and, like, really find consistency, because otherwise Napoli are going to run up right behind them. What do you think?
Yeah, broadly agree with that. I think the damage was, as you alluded to, done by the previous managers this season. That's definitely played a part in terms of, and it's shocking when you kind of can see the comparisons from last season to this season. It's things like clean sheets, they've only achieved 6 this season. Last season was 18, for example, for the duration of the season. There's been a lot fewer contributions, and this is the element I think may cost Napoli, is the fewer contributions for goals. So this season, they've only had 12 players contribute towards goals this season, including Osimhen, who's on 11, Farah at 10. Last season, they had 17 players that contributed with goals. So I think that's playing a huge part. I will allude to this, but I think the Zielinski kind of drop is going to hamper them in terms of, and you can kind of start to see that play out in terms of the kind of amount of goals that they're scoring, with the exception of Sassuolo a few weeks ago. Generally, they haven't scored more than 2 goals per game. So, you know, they're not necessarily killing off teams as clinical as maybe the previous season. Obviously, under Calzone, I can see an improvement in terms of their style. but I think they've left it too late. Unfortunately, too late to resurrect this season. And as you mentioned, the big games that they've got to still play include the likes of Atalanta at home, Monza away, Roma at home, and Fiorentina away. So those teams that are in around that mix, I think you could see a few draws in those games, which I think ultimately is where they drop the points and potentially is not enough to pull them into that mix. So, yeah, it might be better for Napoli to consolidate for next season, not have to worry about European competition, although I suspect European competition is needed for a revenue point of view rather than anything else. So if they don't go into Europe, I suspect there might be a bit of a fire sale in the summer, which might not be favourable to their fan base as well. I think it's going to be a difficult one for Napoli. Generally, Rory, I think they're going to miss out on the top six. I think they lie where they are currently in seventh as well.
I have them down as seventh as well, finishing there. I was just looking through their XG stats. The upturn since Calzone has took over is absolutely mental. They're averaging like over 2.5 XG a game, and they've had more XG than every single one of their opponents in the last five games. So more than Inter, more than Juve. Like, they really are creating a lot of chances and high quality chances. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Even against Barcelona, they had 3.49 XG. Like, they created a lot of chances.
Mental, yeah.
They just need to get that final touch, right? So I think, yeah, signs of promise there for Napoli, but just not quite enough, because you're up against the big boys now. These teams, these are decent. You're not battling against Empoli, unfortunately. But yeah, maybe a positive ending to a overall negative season for Napoli.
Definitely.
But let's keep moving on up, and let's go to Atalanta. Now, they have the game against Fiorentina. They have a game against Napoli away, and they have to play Roma at home. Those are the only teams around them that they have to play. Now, of course, with Atalanta, they've kind of come through. They are coming through their rough run of fixtures, right? So after this, it has to get easy, right? There's only so many top teams. So they have Cagliari away, which I have them drawing. They've got Verona at home, Monza away, which I have them losing. They have Empoli at home, Salernitana away, and Lecce at home. Their final game of the season is their final game of the season is Torino at home. I've got them picking up 14 points over the rest of this season. 15 points, and I have them finishing six. So no moves in position so far. I have them finishing six, which will get them into the Europa League. Adam, how do you see the season going for Atalanta? It's been, if they can just get a tune out of Scamacca, they might have a chance.
I think what might work in their favour, like you say, they're going through this rough patch at the moment. Where they're also least effective is away from home. So they've only got recorded four wins all season so far, and that's within 14 games so far. They've obviously got another five to play that will complete their total. Just looking at the goal scored element as well, because this is where they're a lot better at home, because at the moment they've scored something like 31 goals at home, I believe it is. I'll just double check. Yeah, 31 goals, but they've only conceded 10 goals this season at home, which makes them one of the top teams working from home perspective. They also have a lot more clean sheets compared to last season. So despite the intense style of football with Gasperini, they're actually a lot more sure at the back as well. They've maintained the same kind of intensity with the same amount of interceptions, for example, in terms of their style of play. And it's interesting as well, Tyne Kopminas has the same amount of goals that he scored for last season. So he's going to definitely, I would say, score a lot more. I think where they will be let down is the waveform. And that's where I've got them to stay where they are as well, ironically. I think they are going to stay where they are just purely because when you look at those fixtures, I think the next game against Napoli, they drop points or potentially lose that, is my thinking anyway. And then, yes, you're very much relying on those other fixtures to do something. I think that Liverpool game might be an interesting period for them as well. I still think that that might screw up with them. If Hellas, for example, need the points in between those games, that might be a second thought as well to bear in mind. And like we've said, obviously we've got likes of Monza and Fiorentina still in those mixes. They may cause them a bit of a shock as well. So that's where I've got them, Rory.
Yeah, I have them finishing, in the same position, exactly, in sixth. But yeah, I think, again, just there's so many good teams around here. It's going to be a problem. But let's keep moving up and let's go to Roma. Vastly improved under De Rossi. Everything looks nice and rosy. And I've got them going on a bit of a winning run here. So the teams around them that they have to play, they have the Derby della Capitale against Lazio, of course. They have Bologna at home, Juve at home, and Atalanta away. Now, I've got them beating Lazio, I've got them beating Bologna at home, and I've got them beating Juve at home. So I'm really banking on Roma doing very well at the Olimpico. I think under De Rossi, they have done very well at the Olimpico. I think the only thing that makes me doubt my optimism here is the fact that he hasn't really won a big game yet, right?
Sure.
The bigger opposition, he hasn't really got those results. Fiorentina, obviously, they got like huge draw at the end, like which was a massive point considering how the game went. So I think the Derby della Capitale is the first chance for De Rossi to put his flag in the middle of the pitch and be like, right, I'm here. I can win big games. I can get this going. And I think if they do that, then they can go on to beat teams like Bologna and Juve at home. They do have to play teams around the bottom. So they have Lecce away next, then they have Udinese away, and they have to play Empoli away on the final game of the season, which I think, again, with everything likely to play for on that game, I think Roma get the job done there and probably say bye to Empoli and have a party in Tuscany. But I've not got them losing a game the rest of the season, which now seems mental I look at that. That can't be right. But Adam, how many ways am I wrong?
You're not too wrong, but I think there is elements of the game that they're going to be let down by. So they have definitely scored a lot more goals than last season, currently on 55 goals. They scored 50 for the duration of last season, so already improved in that department. And that's probably unsurprising, given it was a Jose Mourinho-style football. But what they've definitely improved on is the amount of goals from open play, so 36 already. And they scored 24 goals under De Rossi already in that kind of spell since he's taken over. So that shows you that almost half of those goals have come under the De Rossi reign, which is amazing when you look at it. Where they potentially will be let down by, and it's the kind of intensity and interceptions per game, for example. So they only record 6 interceptions per game, which I found quite alarmingly low for this Roma side. However, that's where they've been measured versus last season, where they had 10 per game. So that kind of shows you maybe a drop off from the Mourinho style has definitely played a part in terms of his kind of reign there as well. They're 12 points from eclipsing what they achieved last season with a points tally perspective. I think they will achieve that. They are scoring a lot more goals, as I pointed out. But they're also, the main thing I would say is they're winning a lot more games at home. The home form has been pinnacle in terms of their success. So the amount of wins that they've achieved versus last season, so far they're on 10. They only achieved 11 last season. So massive improvement so far under De Rossi. In terms of clean sheets as well, this is the interesting bit. So they've achieved 8 this season, 3 under De Rossi, and 14 for the duration of last season. I've still got them. I know this sounds like a broken record. I've got them to stay where they are. They are going to push Bologna, but I think Bologna's form is just going to help them out, and we'll allude to them in a moment, but that's where I think Roma are going to stay.
Can I surprise you? I have them staying in exactly the same position as well. I've got them staying in fifth on 72 points, but a fair bit of a gap between them and sixth. Like, I have Atalanta on 64 points and Roma on 72, so I've really gone all in on Roma on a massive run.
That's
here.
Quite massive.
That is a pretty big difference, isn't it? I feel like I did this during lunch at work. Maybe I should have had food first. I don't know. it's going to be a good end to the season for Giallorossi. And if it isn't, you can blame me. You know, at least thank me for jinxing your Cross City rivals. hopefully I won't jinx you. But let's go up and keep going to Bologna. Now it's everyone's favorite team. Now the biggest thing in kind of Bologna's hand here is that they only have three of the teams around them to play.
Yes.
So they've got Roma away, which I said I think they're going to lose. They have Napoli away, which I think they get a draw. And they have Juve at home in the penultimate game of the season, which is looking bigger and bigger the more I look at that table. And I think they can beat Juve at home because they can.
Yes,
they do also have a bit of a favourable run now. So their next two games are Salernitana at home, Frosinone away. They've then got Monza at home. They have to play Udinese at home, and their final game of the season is Genoa away. Now, Genoa are going to have nothing to play for by that point, if they've not got nothing to play for by this point. And I think Bologna, again, with probably something on the line, go and win in Genoa. I've got them winning 6 of the 9 games and only losing to Roma. So I think Bologna now, we've seen them, like, they had that big, like, great winning run at the beginning of the season, bit of a slump. They've had a big winning run again, and I think they're just going to keep this going. They're not going to let this go, right? They have to get this done.
I think so. When you look at the stats, they're definitely a lot more clinical than they were last season. So they've already scored more goals than they did for the duration of last season, 42 goals versus what they've scored last season. So massively improved. I've got them actually, sorry. They've scored, I think, just double check on this stat, but I will make sure that is correct. So yeah, 30. So for 42 goals. Yeah, so 42 goals last season. They had 53 for the duration of the campaign. So they're already on course to be better because they've, for the same period, they were better than what they were. But what I've also noted here is that they've actually scored, or accumulated, should I say, is the right word, more points at home than they did last season. So this is really impressive, but also from a away perspective, they're just 4 short of eclipsing what they did last season.
Wow.
One part of that is Ricky Ossolini, who's 2 goals away from eclipsing what he did last season. So, and if he does score more than the 2, then he would be having his best season he's ever had in his career. And that's not just at Bologna, but just generally in his career. They also have one of the best defenses behind Inter and Juventus currently, and only conceded 25 goals all season. And in terms of clean sheets, already on 12, which is better than last season where they had only 8. The only element that I did note, though, Rory, was that they need to have more shots on goal. So it seems like when they have their chances, they score from them, but they only average 4 shots on game, which I thought was really low. But it goes kind of show you maybe the conversion is a lot higher than they would normally do. And they currently average around 55% possession stats. So that's about right for them. Like you, I think they're going to stay where they are. I think there's going to be some massive games, obviously, that they probably need to take some points from. But actually, I think they are pretty safe, especially when you look at the form, the momentum. And it'll be beautiful to see Bologna in that top 4 mix. Beautiful.
Honestly, the only thing that I've got them here is 4th because I haven't projected Juve's results. But I think they could nick that spot off Juve, and I think they could actually finish 3rd. I think they've got a proper run going at the moment. Juve, they're kind of battling between this, do we really want 2nd? Are we even going to get 2nd kind of vibe? And I think we could really see Juve's season peter out. So I think Bologna, I'm going to say they can actually get 3rd. I think they really, really push the end of this season because they've got some very, very winnable games. So yeah, hopefully it's not only scraping in, hopefully they do it with a bit of style as well. Or a bit of extra style. They've already shown lots of style this season, haven't they? but yeah, guys, all of that to say that there's going to be one change in position, and it's Fiorentina are going to switch places with Lazio. Yeah. But we do promise that the end of the season is still going to be worth watching. You know we're always wrong, but hopefully we'll get some of them right. Hopefully we'll get some of them right. Well, guys, that is the end of this part. That is how we see the race for Europe going. We know that no matter what happens, the end of this Serie A season is going to be incredible. There's going to be lots of surprises, lots of shocks. And we can't wait to join you for all of it. We're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, there's no weekend preview. So we're just going to go straight to Tiki Taka Toe. We will see you there. And we are back. Welcome to the Tiki Taka Toe quiz. And we were having a slight discussion off record of like, oh, why is there no international football version? Then we realized, of course, you can only play for one team unless you're Declan Rice and Jack Grealish. So the game wouldn't really last very long. But so we've gone for European League. So it's just European football in general. And for people who are listening and not seeing, along the top lines, we have Inter, Juve, and Jose Mourinho, managed by Jose Mourinho. And along the side, we have Denmark, teammate of Lukaku, and Copa America, which I hope is played in the Copa America, not won the Copa America, because otherwise, I'm not going to get anybody. But unless it's... No way, I'm not going to say it. Good. True. So we're going to flip a coin. Adam, you can go first.
Okay. I'm going to go for Juventus and Denmark. Lord Bentner.
Yeah, get him on there. Niklas Bentner, nice. I'm going to go Juve and teammate of Lukaku. I've gone in really quick and then realized actually it was maybe a bit harder than I thought, but I'm going to go Paul Pogba.
Nice, nice. Okay, so this is interesting. I'm just trying to work up my... kind of, am I lying myself? Right, I will go with Inter and Denmark, and I will go with Christian Eriksen.
Eriksen, nice. Okay, I'm gonna cut you off maybe and say managed by Mourinho in Denmark, and I'm gonna say what's his bloody name, that bang average midfielder for Spurs, Højbjerg. He's Danish, right?
Yes, he is. He is. So that leaves me with, to block you, right? So I'm going to go with Inter and Copa America, and I'm going to hope it's the right answer, Javier Zanetti.
Zanetti. No! I think it might have to be a player who's won it.
Won it, yeah.
And I think I might have it. I'm going to go with Alexis Sanchez. Yes! Correct. I've won a game!
Boom. Finally wins the game. It's taken a while. All because we didn't know what that spot actually meant. But it doesn't matter.
I really wish I just had the... I just had a moment of caca with that I belong to Jesus vest. Pre-prepared that.
Maybe we could just prepare that.
Anyway, yeah, right? You just have that superimposed on. Beautiful. Oh, so happy with that. Nice. We've won a game. Bloody hell.
Well done.
Miracles do
happen.
That
was quick. Anyway.
It was pretty quick. That was the most efficient we've done it, I think. But guys, hopefully... you kind of kept up with that. It was super quick round, but there we go. We are finished for today. I think that is everything. Mm-hmm. All the international football. We will be back on Monday to review kind of the state of play with the playoffs, international friendlies, how much we can moan about Gareth Southgate or laugh that he's going to take over at Old Trafford, whichever one happens. So don't forget to join us on the live stream. Adam, anything to say before I send these lovely people home?
I think, if you've got TikTok, just follow us. But alternatively, we'd love to hear your thoughts because we're planning for next season as well. So it'd be great to get your insight as to what you think we could do as a pod. So any insight, please feel free on our social media channels. Just send us your suggestions. Did you think this episode was useful, more importantly as well? Did you think that in-depth analysis really was more useful than your usual pod? That'd be great to understand. But any insight will be beautiful to have, and I wish you a great weekend, more importantly.
Beautiful. Well, guys, we are going to leave you to your weekend, and I have remembered the quote, don't worry. And we found an incredible Boomer-esque quote from Spalletti this week talking about the state of his Italy national team, in which he said, "We live in a world with very little incentive to work hard. Young people would rather post a picture on Instagram with their hair done than put their head down and pedal. These are not the values of my national team. Well, that sounds just like my dad, honestly. Guys, have a good weekend. We will see you on Monday for the live stream.
Ciao, ciao.
Podcast Network.